Now, I didn't get all said that I wanted to say concerning this text in the fourth chapter of Galatians, the first two verses. We recessed that for Mother's Day last Sunday, had a Mother's Day message. But I want to return to that. Now the text says that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Now I explained in the first message from this text what that meant. That's a legal provision. Take it clear out of the scriptures, it's a legal fact that the heir, no matter how large the estate, he doesn't get it placed in his hands to have and to hold and to manage for himself until he comes to a certain age. And there is always provision made in those things for the bringing up of the child. He's a young child. There's provisions for his education, for his clothing, his upkeep, his spending money, and whatever he needs as a child growing up until he comes to that age when the estate is placed in his hands. There's an appointed guardian that takes care of his affairs until then. Now, we also explained in a previous message that there was a condition similar to this spiritually, in our spiritual lives. There are spiritual children, infants, newborn babes, justified people, saved from sin, but they're children. And they're children until they come to the experience in which they are wholly sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the mature experience of one salvation. We have the two classes, the children and the grown-ups, in this respect also. Now, God has promised to you and me a wonderful heritage to be enjoyed by the church and in our individual lives right here in this present world. And great and marvelous things are provided for us, but we're just getting an allotment, so to speak, until we come to age. Then it's handed over to us to have and to hold as our own and for ourselves. I was discussing 2 weeks ago this morning, at the close of the message, a thing that I wanted to say some more about, but I'm sorry that I have to say any more about it. I'm sorry I have to say anything about it. And that was this, that just as an individual, when he's justified and not sanctified, is in a child state, and justification is a state of permanent childhood. You never grow up in that. If you live in that experience, if it were possible for you to, but I don't believe it is, but if it were possible for you to live in that experience for 40 years, you'd just be a 40-year-old baby. That's all. That isn't the mature experience for the children of God. Now, the sad thing about this, I was discussing this thought when we come to the close last Sunday, is that you take a church, large or small, however many there be in it, and let a predominant majority of the communicants in that church be in a justified state, and you've got a church in a baby state. That church isn't grown up. God's provision is for every member in the church, every one of His children, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that's what God wants. And that's what God has provided for. And as long as there is one member in the church that isn't filled with the Holy Spirit, we just don't quite have a Spirit-filled church yet. But when there's a large number, a predominant majority of them that are not filled with the Holy Spirit, that church is in a child state. Now, in this time in which we're living, it seems very difficult to convince people that they need to go on and to seek an experience of entire sanctification, be filled with the Holy Spirit, consecrate their lives to God. There are very few that even try for that experience. A small percentage that even put in for that experience. And there is a small percentage of the ones who do that actually obtain the experience. Now the church is a mother. Paul declares that Jerusalem, which is a metaphor for the church, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. The church is a mother. It says in the 66th chapter of Isaiah and verse 8 that when Zion, that's an Old Testament metaphor for the church, when Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. But now, children can't do this. Children cannot travail in birth. They cannot bring forth. It takes a full-grown, fully developed woman to do that. And maybe we're getting down here to the secret, the root, the essence of the problem of lack of converts in the church today, children, souls, being born into the church, because the church is too much in a babe state, not sufficiently filled with the Spirit, not grown up enough, not mature enough to actually reproduce and to bring forth, travail in birth until sons and daughters are born into the family of God. Now in that 66th chapter of Isaiah, he describes Jerusalem, the church, as a mother, and as her converts nursing and milking out of the abundance of her delicacies. This mother is to have something to feed her babies on. We lament the lack of conversions in the church. But God is not interested in giving the church children, newborn souls, for the church to just let them languish and die. Let them starve. We must be in a position to accept the responsibilities of motherhood, the proper care of our children, And he said that they would be dandled upon her knee and born upon her side. And as a mother comforteth her children, so ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Listen, folks, we need to be filled with a spirit of comfort and consolation and grace till those who come to us can milk out and be delighted with the abundance of our delicacies and the provisions that God has made for us. Not only do we need to be full grown, fully developed in our Christian experience in order to bring forth children, but we need to be developed enough to accept the responsibility of motherhood and take the proper care of our children when we get them. Now, he said they would nurse. We're in an age of time now where we don't have many nursing mothers. And there are deficiencies existing in many of the people's physical bodies that they wouldn't be capable of producing sufficient nourishing food for their babies. And there is a lack in our day of even a desire to do this. I can remember when I was a boy, if a mother couldn't nurse her baby, it broke her heart. She wanted to do that. There's something there that produces a closeness between that mother and her baby. When she loves it up and it nurses from her. Now anybody can fix a bottle and prepare a formula. And career women, they do that. If they have children, they just get a babysitter and fix a bottle and prepare a formula and they go on with their career. Nothing's going to interfere with them. But you don't find much closeness between those mothers and their children. But God wants a closeness to exist between the older saints and the new converts, and He wants you and me in a position to nurse our children, not a bottle baby in the crowd, spiritually speaking, but everybody nursing from the mother. You know, if a mother gets something wrong with her, it doesn't take very long for that to show up in a nursing baby. That baby will get it too. We need to keep ourselves in good spiritual healthy condition to be able to properly take care of our children. God isn't concerned about giving us children if we're not able to take proper care of them or are not willing to accept the responsibility of taking the proper care of our children, the newborn babes in the kingdom of God. In the matter of burden bearing, children aren't capable of bearing burdens. We shield them from heavy burdens. They think they can do as much as Daddy, and they want to do as much as Daddy. But Daddy has to just kind of watch them. Now, son, you can't pick up that much. You can't handle that load. That Daddy's load. They'd hurt themselves if we didn't watch them sometimes. It's the same way spiritually. When there are burdens to be borne by the church, the children, and I'm not speaking of children in age, I'm speaking of children in experience now, the children can't shoulder much responsibility. They can't carry much. They need to grow up. God wants you and me to grow up to where we will be able to carry responsibility and fulfill our place in this world. I went one time to the building department down in Los Angeles. There was some work that was required of us on the campground there at Pacoima before we could get a certificate of occupancy on the ground. And we didn't have it done, and we didn't have the money to do it. So I went down to apply for a variance on that and to seek an extension of time for getting that work done. The man said to me, said, I know what your problem is. Says, we handle problems of churches all the time here. And says, I know what your problem is. He says, it is not the $5 a week man that pays the bills in the church. Says, it's the dollar a week man. And that man of the world, he was familiar with that fact. That it was the ones that had the least that paid the bills in the church. Well, that's sad, isn't it? That's a little bit bad. It ought not to be that way. But we've got too many children that are not willing and not able to shoulder responsibilities, bear burdens, meet the needs. I attended a meeting. Brother Chandler was holding a meeting in Pomona at this time, and I was living there in Los Angeles on Perlita Avenue. And I attended the meeting one night, and the house was filled to the corners. There was a crowd of people out there to that chapel. And Brother Chandler preached a very anointed message that night on consecration. When the message ended, they stood and sang an invitation song for people to come and respond to the message. Consecrate their lives to God. And in a house full of saints, most of them saints, filled to the corners, not a one came. Well, I got in my car with my load of saints that I'd taken with me over there to go home, about 35 miles. And that burdened me, that a message as powerful and as anointed as that man preached that night on the subject of consecration, and a house full of saints, and no one was wrought upon to respond to that message. Not a one. I got about halfway home, and the Lord spoke to me. And he says, there's not a power on earth greater than my power. Well, I didn't have any argument there. I believed that anyway. So I never made any argument. I just accepted that. And he says, there's not a power on earth that can hinder me in the operation of my power. Well, I didn't have any argument there. I accepted that too. But he said, there's one thing that can hinder me, and I balked at that. I'd always been of the idea God can work and none can hinder. Nobody can interfere with God. But he said, there's one thing that can hinder me. And I just balked there. I thought I had some argument there. He says, my people can hinder me. Said, if my people balk, my hands are tied. Now, it isn't because God couldn't do anything or everything that he wants to do without you and me, but That isn't the way he has it set up. He has it set up to function and operate and carry on the work of God through the church, through the people of God. And if the people of God balk, then his hands are tied. That's the arrangement he's made. And he gave me a little mental vision that night as I drove along there. And I saw a church building with two parts to it. I didn't know why that I saw it with two parts to it, unless that it was because there are two parts to the church of God. And the type of the New Testament church, which was given us in the tabernacle, it had two rooms in it. There was the holy place and the most holy place. And there was a division, a veil between them. Well, as I thought on this, I note that numbers of our buildings, church buildings, have a vestibule in them. And that's where the people enter. They come in there, and there's a place for them to hang up their coats and hats there. And that's a part of the building. The vestibule is a part of the building, the same as this in here in the sanctuary is a part of the building. But the vestibule is not the main part of the building. But you let someone come into the vestibule and he's taking off his coat and hat and putting them up there, and someone else comes in and they take off their coat and hat and they get to visiting there and they're still there, and someone else comes in. And after a bit, you can get the vestibule jammed and crowded till people that come in and want to get on out into the sanctuary, they can't get through. They can't get out there. And so I thought this matter over. Jesus told us in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, I believe it is, 22nd or 23rd, he told us about a class of people who would not enter into the kingdom of heaven and hindered those who were entering in. Now, people that get into the vestibule, they're in the building. If it's stormy outside, they'll be sheltered from the storm. And if it's cold outside, they'll be in where it's warm. That's a part of the building. And it's the entrance. It represents people entering into Christ in a justified state and condition. But that's where we jam up back there. Get to visiting. And just talking about things. And so on. The service may be going on, and we may hear some of the things that are being said and the songs that are being sung, but it's not going to mean as much to us and not going to register with us as much if we're out there as it would if we were out in the sanctuary where the actual service is going on and where we could see as well as hear. But if we get enough people stopping back there, it blocks the way for other folks coming on in. People that want to go farther. People that are hungry in their souls. One party told me where I was holding meeting some years back. This was in Urbana, Illinois. Having a series of meetings there. This party told me, the pastor was a lady, and I asked her how she got people to respond to a certain thing. She says, we don't have any problem. Says, the people that are here practice that. And they live that way. And said, the people that are coming in, they just observe that and see the other folks doing that. And says, they just do that too. Something to that, folks. There's something to that. If we're holding our standard high, up where it belongs, people that come in, we won't have any problem with them getting up to that standard. They've already accepted that standard in their heart when they seek God in our services, at our altar. What they've seen there. They've already accepted that. If they didn't accept that, they'd go on down the street to some other church where they could accept the standard, and they'd go to the altar over there. Or join that church. Or whatever. But, if our standards are low, the average standard held by the overall body of communicants in a congregation, if that's low, people will come up to that, but try to pull them on past that, you'll have problems on your hands. That lady opened my eyes to something, says, we don't have any problem on this line at all. Said, the people that are here practice this and live this, and says, when folks come in among us, they just fall right in line and go right on. Now, God would have you and me, if He could, to recognize the import of this little text here. It's inserted in here for something. It is not just in here to fill up space, but God has willed to you and me the abundance of His glory. He has willed to us a close fellowship and relationship with God. He has willed to us the unity of the Spirit and the fellowship of the saints. He has willed to us the love of God and the power of God and miracle working powers and the gifts of the Spirit and of the healing of our sicknesses, the solving of our problems, the bearing of our burdens, everything, a trust in God, that's our heritage. And it is our heritage to have and to hold and to enjoy right here in this present life, this present time, but God has determined a time for us to come into it. An age. Come to age. Grow up. Come to maturity in our Christian experience. Consecrate our lives to God. Let God have His way. Brother Chandler used to teach us when we had presented our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. From then on, we had to ask God what we did with ourselves. We couldn't just decide, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. We just couldn't decide what we were going to do. We had to ask God what we could do with ourselves. And how He wanted us to handle this and how He wanted us to live and what He wanted us to do. That's what the consecration and dedication of our bodies, of our lives, of our service to God involves and includes. The heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. God's appointed a time for us to come into this. He wants us to have all of these grand and glorious things that He has provided for us, but He wants us to get over there where they're provided. Just like He wanted the children of Israel to get over in the land of Canaan, where He had milk and honey flowing and grapes of Eshcol growing and everything wonderful. The spies that brought an evil report, they said it's a wonderful land over there. And God had it all, wells filled with water that they didn't dig, and granaries filled with grain that they hadn't produced. He had just provided everything for them, but they didn't get over there where it was. And God has provided everything grand and glorious for you and me in this life. But many times, we don't come to age where it can be delivered to us. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's the coming to age. That's a maturity age in our Christian experience. Now let's stand, sing a song. See if anyone wants to come and pray this morning or have anyone has any need in your life. My life, my love, I give to Thee, the Lamb of God who died for me. Oh, may I ever faithful be, my Savior and my God. I live for Him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I live for Him who died for me, my Savior and my God. Oh, that for Thou hast died that I might live. And now henceforth I'll trust to Thee, my Savior and my God. I'll live for Him who died for me. Anybody want to come this morning? Then my life shall be. I'll live for Him who died for me, my Savior and my God. O Thou who died on Calvary to save my soul and make me free, I'll consecrate my life to Thee, my Savior and my God. I'll live for Him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for Him who died for me, my Savior and my God. Dinner will be served in a little bit. Want everybody to stay and eat with us and enjoy what we have and be with us again in the service at 2:30. Dear God, We thank you now for the abundant provisions that you've made for the church, for the saints, and our individual lives. Those things that are willed to us and that we are an heir to by virtue of being born again, saved, being a child of God. But those things are going to be of very little worth and value to us until we come to age. And if we fail to come to age, we'll live out our lives without receiving our inheritance. We pray that this may happen to none of us. I remember the words now of Brother Davy down in Southern California. He used to say, "Saints, let's move up." That's what I say. I pray that you will help every one of the saints to say this in our hearts, "Saints, let's move up." And I pray that we will move up. And I ask you that we might come into that full inheritance to have and to hold and to use for the glory of God. Those wonderful things that you have provided for us and that's been purchased for us by the blood of Jesus. Bless every soul present this morning. Put an urge in every heart, an outreach for greater things and for deeper experiences, for a closer fellowship between our souls and God. I ask you to dismiss us now from this service with your blessings upon us and in the fellowship of your Spirit. Be with us now between this and the next service, and we trust you'll meet with us in that next service. Pour out your Spirit and power and anointing and grace upon it. And we give you thanks now for the food that's been provided for our bodies. Ask you to bless it. Bless everyone that's had any part in providing and preparing this food and bringing it here. And we ask you to bless us as we receive of it, that our bodies may be strengthened from the use of it. And ask you to bless us all with wisdom, that we may know how to use the strength that we receive from it to your glory and in your service. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.